This morning's New Testament reading is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. The title is The Meaning of Faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible.
There was a speaker. He had delivered a wonderful speech called Love Beyond Reason. The audience was invited him to give responses or ask questions. A young college student raised his hand and stood up, and he said, "That, I'm sure it was a great message, but," he said, "I am so confused. I don't know what I believe." And the speaker lowered his voice up close to the microphone and said, "Son, you don't live by belief. You live by faith." There was silence in the room, and people wanted to hear more. Belief is an important word and a good word, but it has been abused. Belief has become like something we can nail down, so to speak. And on the other hand, when you think about faith, it is about living without knowing all the answers. It is living with Jesus and trusting his call that is beyond what we know. And yet, we are vibrant and alive in grace and in love and in trusting Christ and trusting for things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And also knowing, because of Jesus' promise, that the kingdom of God is within us. The early church began as a movement of the Spirit guided by faith. Christianity then was understood as a way of life based upon faith. It was both relational and transformational. They trusted the way of Jesus and the experience of his love with them. I believe that we are entering into a new phase of Christian history, and it's called the Age of Faith. A time of faith in Jesus, not a time of belief about Jesus. Do you hear the difference? Belief can become cut and dried. If you don't believe this or that doctrine or certain opinions, in some quarters, you are not even considered a Christian. The word believe is a beautiful word. In fact, the word believe in Latin, I'll spell it rather than try to say it, L-I-E-B-E, it meant love. In the early English word, the word belief meant beloved. It was a verb. Belief was a verb. And when we write it down in documents and seal it and say you must believe this, then we've taken away the vision of being loved and loving. It was meant to be a verb, not an unchangeable statement. Many religious groups were persecuted for not believing the correct beliefs. And many of those who were persecuted were Anabaptists. That's our heritage of the Church of the Brethren. There is today a new, fresh, and flowing of faith in people's lives, in ways to worship, new, fresh expressions of worship, living in openness, living for others, experience of faith in Jesus. And that's what people are hungry for. That's what we are hungry for. Not for doctrines and rules and stifled worship, but a people who care about justice, people who care about their community. and trust a new movement, a trust of movement of the Spirit guided by faith. I trust that we are on that path. Truly we are. I have seen signs of it here in our church. Not that we didn't have faith before, but we're growing in it. And that growing in faith goes on and on and on through all our life. The Oakton Church of the Brethren indeed is becoming more and more of a church of faith. So get ready for the future. It will be a future of faith. The wind of the Spirit is blowing. And many people, it's true, many people have abandoned the church in these last 15, 20, 30 years. But God has not. God has not abandoned the church. He planted it. He has called us. We are poised to enter a new age, and that future will be a future of faith. And so my prayer is that the church would breathe in the wind of the Spirit in that fresh newness of living faith. God bless you.
This morning's Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, verse 7. It's on page 683 in your Pew Bible. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news and announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns.
There's something about feet. You know those things you walk on? And some people like their feet to be seen, and they decorate them and make them look nice. And some don't want their feet to be shown. And others say, Wipe your feet at the front door, because they don't want the dirt of the feet to come into the house. But the prophet says, how beautiful are the feet of those who are on the mountain, who come down from the mountain and carry forth good news. Think about the feet of this congregation. For the youth that used their feet and their hands and their hearts and went to serve at CHO last Sunday. For the feet of those who filled the choir loft this morning to practice and then bring us the beautiful good news message that we heard. The feet of the one who comes every Monday through Friday, Jackie, who's back there in the back. We see you. We welcome you. We're glad you're here. The feet of a new pastor who will come and stand with you and be with you. And who will forget the feet of the little girl who walked along the pathway, crowded about by adults, but she had a picture she wanted to give a pope who was standing in a mobile. And she tried, and they pulled her back. And did you notice what he did? He saw. He wanted what she had to offer. He picked her up, and he kissed her, and he held her, and he blessed her. She started to turn, but she held out her hand, and he took it from her. And later, the picture showed the feet of children walking with the Pope. It didn't matter whether they were immigrant or non-immigrant. They were walking in faith, that new faith that Dick was talking about, an age of faith. Two things besides the feet to get from this text. The first is good news is important. The messenger brings good news, announces peace and salvation. What more can be said? The church is a spiritual community. You are a community of people who are being built up in faith. But what happens when you walk away from this gathering of people? What happens when you walk out into your neighborhoods and the workplaces and you begin to be confronted by bad news? Will there be good news coming from you because you are a part of this body? Because you have connected with Christ, the story of your life and the Christ story begins to mingle? Will you have a story to share with those outside of this place? Without the good news, the church has no purpose. So the future of the church is dependent upon the feet of all of us, walking and talking. The second discovery out of the Isaiah text is that there is not an elevated position for evangelism over mission, nor mission over evangelism. Now, you might not pick it up because this is a nuance that comes out of the Hebraic language. But good news, good tidings are both evangelism and mission. If you're going to be the church of the future, both and must be equally worked at. In mission, each person needs to be seen as a person with a face, a person with a heart, a person with a being. It doesn't matter whether they're lost or in prison, whether they're immigrants, hungry, homeless, facing illness, living with brokenness. The mission of the church is to carry forth the message of good news. And how about your experience in Christ? The story of Christ connecting with your story. The Older Adult Conference, we were challenged to not keep the story to ourselves. It's not a matter of age. We all have the opportunity. Where might it be that we can share good news? Doesn't have to be fancy words. Sometimes it's a reaching out and touching. Sometimes it's a speaking of a truth that we've discovered for our own life that will be a different truth for another. But in your words, they hear good news. How beautiful are the feet who carry forth the good news. But annual conference this year, and I'm giving you an abbreviated version. We heard Roger Nishioka, a professor at Columbia Theological Seminary, share a heart-rending story about how it's important to bring to that good news a heart, a passion, and a compassion. A mother had a wonderful young son. They lived together. He was a great student, a great athlete, and every night after work, after school and sports practice, he would go to work to help supplement the family income. A knock came to the door, and the mother was invited to follow, and they went to a hospital where there she discovered her son's broken body because of a terrible automobile accident. She looked and could not take in totally what she was experiencing. And then she heard the bad news, and he's brain dead. A couple days sitting there, reflecting on his story, reflecting on her story, feeling an emptiness, she finally crawled up in the bed beside him, put her arms around him, and felt the strength of his heartbeat. After some time passed, she climbed off the bed, and she started to walk out of the room, and as she walked, she turned her head and said, "Give his organs that others might have life." She went home. The memorial service happened. Each day seemed to get harder. Each day her grief welled up inside of her. And she thought, maybe if I could just talk to some of these people that had received an organ from my son, it would help me. So she went to the hospital and she asked around, and she finally was in contact with someone that said, "I'm really sorry, I can't give you names and addresses, private health information. But what I'll do for you, I'll write a letter and I will invite them to be in touch with you if they desire." And a few did that. But the most meaningful one was the one who had received the heart. He lived clear across the country, but he welcomed and invited her. She got on a plane and traveled to his home. He welcomed her with wide open arms. And they sat and they talked. They laughed. They told stories about each life. This young man who had died, this young man who had new life. And they cried. Tears from the mother because she knew her son offered something valuable, good news to another life. And the tears of the young man because he had received a new heart. She turned to leave, and then she hesitated. She said to this young man, "I don't know if it's possible, I don't know if you'll allow me to, but could I take my ear and listen at your chest one more time to hear the beat of my son's heart?" And the mother said yes. The young man said yes. And the mother put her ear to his chest, and she heard the beat, and she said, "It's strong. It beats so strong." Dick and I, for a season, have put our ears to the heart of this congregation, and the heart of Jesus Christ beats strongly within you. A new pastor will come to bring by his feet good news. And even he's bringing little Moses and little Marigold to be loved and helped to live the good news. The good news is important. It is the future work and ministry of the church. God bless you.